morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this terrific Tuesday. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. It's already the 17th of November. Oh my goodness, where does the time go? We are here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for your feedback, sending me email. I love it when my email box gets full and all kinds of information and insight and certainly suggestions, too, on who to bring onto the show. Businesses who might want to get engaged and involved in our radio show in the morning, thank you so much. And with that, I want to give a very special thank you to our morning show sponsor, Dave and Paige Smith. Yes, they're with Realty One Group Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you in all of your real estate needs. Get a hold of them at 503-939-7099. And in the studio with me live himself is Dave Smith.
Good morning.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And are you a morning person?
No.
Doing pretty good, though. I mean, he came in smile and had some energy. And one of the blessings about doing this show and radio and being here in Salem is getting to know incredible people like you and your wife and your team. And I just want to say again, thank you for what you're doing here in Salem and the Willamette Valley. And I know that this has not been an easy year for anybody, but particularly those that are entrepreneurial, independent workers, have their own businesses. It has been an incredible challenge. And the way I'm designed is to come alongside and network and help people. And for all of our business owners today, I know that there's got to be a huge amount of anxiety and a lot of unknown, because we're going into a couple weeks here where even if you don't own a restaurant or a gym or those kinds of things, you friends do, and you network and you support one another, and it's hard not to have a heavy heart. It really is. And some of the stuff that we're digging into and going to dig through today is eye-opening and reconfirm what we already are suspicious of, all of those kinds of things. But we want to kind of put a bow around it and tie it together in that we are together. We are in this together. We are here for one another. And even though we have a governor who's trying to say, go back to your room and stay there until I tell you to get out, we are going to reemphasize the fact that we are connected. We are together and we do care. And so, friends, do not let the media dictate how you feel today. Reach out to someone. Find some encouragement and support. Put on your favorite music. Do some things that you know how to stir up your own faith within yourself, because it is kind of bumpy, has been bumpy. It's continued to be bumpy. And holidays are always tough for people. I know in my own personal life, and we won't go into this today, this is a story for another time, but holidays have always been difficult for me for about the last 20 years because some of the trauma I experienced about 20 years ago. And so I know those of you that have had loss during this time, it's already tough. And we recognize that today. And it's okay to have those emotions, but it's not okay to stay there. And so in our effort to encourage you this morning, I just want to say, reach out to a loved one, reach out to family. Even though the governor's telling us to isolate and stay alone, I'm telling you, it's okay not to. It's okay not to. And so I'm encouraged by having Dave Smith here in the studio with me. Dave and I, we text back and forth, and hey, did you see this? And oh, what about this? And it's really kind of fun because we both are kind of research information hounds. And I want to start first, Dave, with talk to us a little bit of what's going on in the real estate market right now. I know the last time you and I had a conversation about the markets, and you coming in and talking about real estate and talking to our listeners about maybe transitioning, downsizing, maybe upgrading, or that investment income, you know, those kinds of things. We were all, well, we'll see what the election does, right? And we don't know, right? Yeah. So go ahead and talk to us a little bit.
Well, we've seen a few things kind of change from what we expected to have happened due to the election. the rates haven't gone up significantly at all. We're still seeing rates, you know, with conventional APR 2.75, FHA 2.3, VA 2.5%. So the interest rates are very low. The buyers are able to take advantage of a lot of that. That's where we're still seeing the market staying healthy, even with all the uncertainty and lack of stabilization, not just federally, but in state and local levels. We're still seeing some people get out there and make moves. We're seeing some sellers a little bit more hesitant, which has made the market more competitive. Mm-hmm. People, you know, sellers aren't big fans of the uncertainty.
Right.
Buyers tend to not care. They're in it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing lack of inventory, which has produced a really good environment for people who do decide to take that step and buyers who do decide to go on the hunt. So we're starting to see a little bit more of that. And it's the second lockdown, this freeze, it's interesting, kind of trying to make all the projections of what's going to happen and how that'll affect mm-hmm. things. One of the biggest things that, you know, agents who worked a lot when the last lockdown, when we first started this back in March, February,
mm-hmm.
Is finances. I mean, financing's hard. When someone has the period where they're laid off or they're put in the non-essential
right.
category or they're forced out of their job,
mm-hmm.
It makes financing hard. So those impacts that you see at the state level affect a lot of the people in the real estate world big time, because, you know, they might be halfway through a deal, and then if you get put
laid
in that
off.
Freeze, I mean, this hasn't been something talked about for weeks. This was kind of sprung on us just last week. So when they get put in that position, it just puts a lot of sellers, a lot of buyers in some uncertainty. But the good news is the market is still strong. The movement is still there. We're still seeing activity. I mean, here it is in, you know, wintertime, still a great time. I mean, as far as sellers go, I always point this out when I talk to my clients. People net more as a seller. You
mm-hmm.
net more when you close November, December, January, and February.
Wow.
Because lack of competition.
Right.
The markets. And so right now we're having not just the seasonal lack of competition,
mm-hmm.
but we're having the election. We're having the freeze put on by the governor. All these different things are coming into play that are creating a really different environment than we see year over year in the fall and wintertime. So really interesting things are happening.
So when you talk about lack of competition and the inventory that's out there, what is the most asked for house or home or situation? There may be a listener out there thinking about mm-hmm. selling, and they're not. That might be their place. And
yeah, the real estate answer I'll give is everything.
Everything. Okay.
But the number one thing, and this is probably a huge contributor from or a huge factor from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Acreage, properties out more rural. A lot of people aren't, you know, they're doing the at-home learning. They're working from home.
Right.
A lot of that, because the more self-sufficiency, people don't want to worry, you know, the toilet paper scares
yes.
and all that kind of stuff. They want to have more storage. They want to have more land. They want to have a garden. They want to have room for their pets. They want to have room for their kids to play, since they're not interacting, you know, at school
mm-hmm.
and karate and all these things that they're used to. So you're seeing a lot of people gravitate towards not you know, necessarily rural communities, just more
outside
land.
Of town,
yeah, outside of town,
where they can have
outskirts.
A garden,
exactly.
some chickens, some self-sufficiency.
Yep.
If they don't have electricity, they can build a fire and
yeah,
things like
people
that.
People want to have that security.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find the certainty in your day-to-day routine, the things you've been doing for years, and those things are taken away from you, a lot of people want to have some of that security at home. And so you're seeing a lot more people looking for that as they reach further and further out.
Well, and I would even go a stretch and say people are tired of the oversight of all the government, and the more inner city you are, the more layers of government you have making rules in your life, right? And some of the fun people up in metro area, like in Multnomah Falls and Clackamas and all of those areas, they're having a difficult time because they're on a 4-week hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 2-week freeze. They're under a 4-week hold. So friends, we've got layers and layers of folks in Oregon that are dealing with stuff that we don't even have an idea, because the media isn't telling the whole story. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you're thinking about doing something different, maybe you're renting and you're a little uncertain about, you know, is your rent going to jump because other people aren't paying their rent, which is probable. In fact, we got a notice, we rent, and we got a notice that we have to reconfirm, and our contract's not up until like the middle of January, February, and our rent's going up, you know. And so there's some transition going on, and this is a time to do it, and this is a time to look. Now, during the freeze, are you doing any kind of, are you able to show? Are you able to, you could probably do virtual, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's different it's kind of up to each brokerage right now. We're just taking precautions that for our clients, and we never, regardless of what our feelings are with COVID and some of the government response and, you know, overreactions and things like that, our job is to not show bias in our performance of our job.
Right.
So when we do, we wear masks, we're showing houses. I'm never going to go into someone's home who may have a differing opinion and just, you know, force my way in there with no mask. We wear masks, we glove up, we disinfect. Steps like that need to be taken to support not just the community, but you want to be respectful. So we do a lot of that. Open houses are probably going to be something that start to fade away for a couple of weeks. You know, obviously, with if you do, you're probably not going to have more than six in at a time. Things like that. You'll see a lot more of that kind of stuff. But for right now, the main changes are like we don't, for signings. So when we have a client closing a home, we won't attend the signing likely now, but we'll make ourselves available via phone. So that way they can have that appointment with the escrow officer. And things like that. So there's precaution. The good news is we've done this before.
Right.
So we relaxed quite a bit, but now we have a plan. Now we have a way to do it in a way that protects those who, regardless of whether they're against the lockdowns, whether before the lockdown, we still run into people who haven't left their home, you know, much during this whole process.
It's been about 8 months. Whoa.
Yeah, they've been very reclusive, and you still run into those folks. When you do, you're respectful towards them, regardless of what their opinions are.
Now, one of the things that I've heard and I watched, not just here in Oregon, but all over the country, is a lot of families are buying property together. Moving back into multi-generational back
Thank you,
together.
California.
Yes. And I'm watching this happen. And I think, especially, you know, when you have mandates that you can't have your family for Thanksgiving, you know, there's kind of more of that move and that shift going on. Are you seeing that somewhat here too?
Yeah. A lot of it we've seen this year as a whole, even before COVID started. We've seen a trend leading that direction. One from influence from California. Another is my wife and I, Paige, we refer to it as 2007 PTSD, where you have a lot of people who, the elderly folks or people who had that retirement and all those kind of things, they bailed out their siblings or their sons and daughters, and they combine households then, or they just bailed themselves out with their retirement. So you have a lot of people who are nervous about that. And you have the millennial entrepreneurial mindset, which is Airbnb everything. So you see a lot of people kind of thinking more towards, hey, like we could have this home. It's got a dual living option. We could rent it out if we ever need to. Mom can move in. Uncle, whatever, can move in. So they get these things set up to where they have this security blanket to where they don't feel like they don't have a way out if the market, you know, air quotes here, tanks. Everyone's kind of afraid of that. Even though Oregon's very insulated, we have a very low inventory level. And with the way the government runs things here, I mean, I'll give credit. It's beneficial for us in the real estate community because it limits growth in certain ways to where it creates a supply and demand that will help us outlast a lot of the country.
You know, one of the things I want to talk to you a little bit about in this next segment is let's talk to folks out there that are looking to have an evaluation of their property and what that process looks like, okay?
Perfect.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a great conversation this morning with Dave and talking all things real estate right now. A little bit later, we're going to transition to local and national issues because I'm going to pick Dave's brain on some things that he knows. We'll be back after this. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Tuesday. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, what a delightful day it will be. Temperature about 56 degrees, 47 currently at the KSLM studio, and about some rain expected and for the next few days. Towards Friday and Saturday, the good news is I see some sunshine poking through the clouds, so that's something to look forward to as we move towards the weekend. Speaking about the weekend, we've got something really cool. Let me grab my paper here. We've got Supermarket Saturday. Yes, indeed. A food drive at Safeway on Center Street, partnering with Salvation Army to help fight the food insecurities that we have right now in our community. It's going to take place from 9 to 4. In fact, Terry Soule and I will be there. Terry's going to be doing his show live, and we'll be doing remote broadcasting throughout the day. We'd love to meet you. That's Supermarket Saturday coming up this Saturday. And of course, you know, it would be fun. So far, supermarkets are okay to go to. So this worked out beautifully. We can meet you and have a meet and greet. And when you buy your groceries at Safeway, get a few extra things, and we'll help out our community and our neighbor. And also, I want to share too, just got alerted last night that our friends with the Defeat the Steal rally that they had last weekend, they're going to do the day before Thanksgiving at noon in the fountain area of the Capitol. They're going to do a big Thanksgiving feed to the community.
Cool.
Yes, it's going to be incredible. Taking care of the homeless, taking care of those folks that might not have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving, plus making a statement that we are going to gather, we're going to take care of one another. And so we encourage you to get engaged, get involved. We'll have more details on our Facebook page about that. But plan now. That'll be at noon the day before Thanksgiving. And as we talk about real estate this morning, we talk about what's going on in our community, and certainly the market. I've got Dave Smith here with me, and we are having a great discussion. And Dave, I'm curious if there's someone that's listening and they're like, I don't really know what to do to get an evaluation on my property. I bought it 40 years ago, and I know it's gone up in value because my taxes have gone up and things like that. But I'm really thinking about doing something different, and I'm a little uncertain, Dave, about, you know, what my next step is. If you're saying that it's a challenge to find anything, I don't know if I want to sell right now because, you know, there may not be a place to go, or I'm not sure what I'm going to do, or maybe I'm moving out of state with my kids, whatever. How do you talk to people like that? What do you say to them?
Well, the good news is that's something we hear a lot, so it's something we're familiar with. Probably the number one thing we're hearing right now is the market's so dry. I get it's great to be a seller, but it doesn't sound fun to be a buyer. Number one thing is the market is adapted to that. We understand as agents and as a community, we understand that a lot of people, when they're going from one to two, that step requires contingencies. So a lot of contracts, it's not as negative as it used to be. It used to be when contingencies were in, it'd put you at the bottom of the list just off the get-go. Mm-hmm. Now it's way more common. In a market like this, when you can say, I'm going to put a home on the market at XYZ, and most real estate agents in the area know that that's going to sell. It's priced well. I mean, even this market, you get some flexibility even mm-hmm. in that part. So you see a lot of that where people go on. We have some people get the home before they put theirs in the market, contingent on that selling. And the other side of it, where we have some people sell their home contingent on them finding a replacement home. Mm-hmm. So that way there's no one hires us to make them homeless. No one wants that situation.
Right.
No one. There's the stress involved in those situations is just insane. So mm-hmm. we can avoid that now. Mm-hmm. So there's always plans and stuff like that. And you mentioned people moving out. We have a lot of people moving out of state. It's unfortunate because you grow to like these people, you work mm-hmm. with them, and then all of a sudden you're not helping them
here.
Move locally. You're helping them relocate to mm-hmm. Idaho or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we do see a lot of that just in the nature of the people we work around. But it's fortunate we get to work with people who stay or stick around. We get close to them and things like that. So the contingencies, the uncertainty and things like that, we're professionals. My wife and I do this all day mm-hmm. long, every day, 7 days a week. So we get the chance to plan for this. It's not new to us. So we have game plans in place to not just customize it for each client, but to do it to where we can see the big picture.
Sure.
Our learning curve is pretty short because we have a lot of experience.
Yes.
We have a lot of properties moving at the same time. It's a good market for those who work hard, and that's what we try and do.
Well, when you think about the properties that you're representing right now for sale, do you have one that comes to mind that you think would be such a great where are you at with that? or is it just that it's moving so fast that they're all selling up?
Last night, every time I've been on here, I've wanted to feature some
right.
property and talk about, but everything we sell, we come here on Mondays and Tuesdays
uh-huh.
and normally we go live on Fridays and they're sold by then.
So I love it.
We had one that just did that this week. We went
incredible.
Live Friday, and last night we finished the contract. So it is, it's a market like that, and it's not meant to intimidate people. I mean, we don't want people to think that if you go down this path, you know, you better be ready to pack up during Thanksgiving. Holidays is always a tricky thing, and there's a lot of people who prefer after, prefer before, all these kind of things. So there's lots of ways to work it out.
Well, I just think it's incredible how the market is right now. And do you find a lot of people in transition right now looking to start up a career as a realtor, real estate agent? And do you, in your sphere, do you help train or do you recruit in your capacity? How does that work?
My wife and I do some coaching for agents and things like that.
Good.
But we do see, we're transparent, not just with our clients, with other agents. Mm-hmm. Like if we have a trick or a tool that's working really well for us and our clients, we don't keep it a secret. And we share it with Realty One Group, all of agents in our office.
I love it.
So we do a lot of that. And with the new agents coming in the market, a lot of people with the uncertainty of, you know, the government coming in and just taking away your job out of nowhere, we have a lot of people looking for something that gives them a little bit more control.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of people calling us. Probably once a week, we field a phone call at least from someone who's not in the industry, who wants to get in the industry. Sometimes people do it, and there's a high fallout rate in this industry.
Yes.
But it rewards those who put in the hours and work. And that's where
stick to it.
A lot of the agents you see are really, really, we're fortunate in this area. We have a lot of really, really good agents. And that's a really cool thing to work
with. Well, and what I know about you and your wife is that you really care about and you want to see people be successful no matter what it is that they do. And I love that about you guys. And I think it's neat to hear your story and your path to what you're doing and how you're helping so many families. And I encourage you folks to give Dave a call. And do you have a website or place people can connect online with you as well?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to find us. One is our website, homesearchoregon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is just our Facebook page. We interact with probably more people on that. Just Dave and Paige at Realty One Group, Willamette Valley.
Awesome. Well, we're going to transition after this break, and we're going to talk about some national political things. I think you've been doing some research. You and I love to research.
Yes.
What's happening with this national election stuff, and we're going to get into it here after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 7:35 on this wonderful day. I'm Stacey Ann, and I've got Dave Smith in the studio with me. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Glad to have you along. Happy. And as we look at the national news, and we look and every day we're trying to figure out, I've told a few people, buckle up, this is going to be the week as far as we start seeing the legal ramifications of the election and what's been going on. It seems like trying to get our hands around the information that's all everywhere. I mean, you have the mainstream media saying it's a done deal and president-elect, blah, blah, blah. You have all the conservative news trying to get the message out and yet getting censored and written off by the social media platforms. And even now I'm looking right here at a story, and this is, it's coming from the Washington Examiner, and it says, conservative censorship goes beyond Twitter and Facebook after WordPress deplatforms popular website. So now we're getting into website deplatforming going on. And I know certainly I've heard MailChimp has, if you know about like the major blasts of emails that go out, if you buy it through a company like Constant Contact or MailChimp or some of these, you can send out to your consumers and your friends on your list beyond like the 25, because I think if you go like Gmail or Yahoo Mail or any of those, if you send a big out to 25 people, it's considered spam. And so a lot of businesses who do regular emailing and alerts to their constituents, they use some kind of organization like that or business. And even during up until the election, there was reports of MailChimp as well causing issues. So these are things that have been obstacles for conservatives to get the accurate information about what's going on in the election. And one of the things I appreciate, what I love about being connected with our listeners and getting email and having face-to-face interactions like we did over the weekend at the rally, is people saying thank you for directing us and bringing videos in and bringing information in so that we can do further research or know where to look for ourselves. And the last few weeks, we've seen a huge depart from Fox News. It used to be that Fox News was the counter to all the mainstream media news, where they would say, you know, we report, you decide, and you don't even hear that tagline anymore. There has been such infrastructure changes in people and even, I think, owners and such, that it's influenced and watered down the conservative message through Fox News, and that was evident election night.
Disney bought it.
Okay, so there we have it. And so that, of course, you follow the money trails and follow in. What I love about you, Dave, and what I've enjoyed about your posts on social media is continuing to hit the drum of facts. And you have done a lot of research, and you can kind of get us an overview and get us drilled down on some things. So I want you to talk to us a little bit about what you're finding out about the election and some of this fraud that's going on, and kind of a state of the state of where we're at. And it's okay if you want to just kind of go down your email, your post that you did the other day was so strategic, and I think our listeners need to hear this. So I'm going to pitch it over to you and go for it.
One thing I always like to start with is people always want to know the source. They always want to critique. And a lot of conservatives are afraid to share or be vocal because if they're vocal, they're going to get attacked. And a lot of conservatives, admittedly, don't do the research either. They want to, just like we have, you know, the more liberal left-wing talking points, a lot of people on the right just share the same thing and become just an echo chamber of crazy. I always encourage people to research and do their due diligence. So one place I want to start is, when you're looking for information and you want to verify the source, especially when we're talking all the legalities and lawsuits and things like that involved in this election, a couple websites I want to point people to. One is courtlistener.com. You can research the case numbers there. It's 100% free. Not all information is available on there, but it's a great resource if you want to get information about cases and things like that going on. And then another one, if you want to get more an official site, you can go to pacer.gov. It does require an account. They verify, they send you some stuff in the mail. You verify it through the Postal Service and everything. But it's like $5 a month or $5 a year, something like that. And you pay per document you pull. I mean, so it's not free, but it shouldn't. I mean, it's you're getting information and you're trying to prove, you know, expose things. You should, it's like 30 cents, I think, or 10 cents a document. That's inexpensive. But things like that, for those who are inclined to do the research, great resources, places to start. So I'm going to start by pointing everyone there. And then two is just looking into the Secretary of State websites. As we're talking about elections and things like that, a lot of information is on these county pages. Some of them you still have to have that pacer.gov account for even the local pages, but it's a great place to go to when you're trying to pull up information and sort out the difference between someone who just sitting there sharing a bunch of information from, you know, some mainstream media source talking about the election results, when in reality it's a different picture when you actually go look at the facts. They call things early, they call things different. I mean, you have some people saying on, you know, on the media stuff, there's not one iota of this, that's the most secure election ever. Everyone knows that's true. Even the left, they, you know, they'll be the first to admit in many cases, you see, not as a whole, but many cases where if there was fraud, they would be okay with the results if it benefited their candidate. I hope conservatives don't feel the same way, but I'm sure many of them do. So I encourage people to be that, have that moral compass to do your own research. If you're going to talk about it, know, and at least learn your sources of people who do the research. It's really important.
Well, I found on that note that when you do have a back and forth conversation with someone you know or a complete stranger on a social media platform, when you start showing facts and sources, they quiet down real quick.
Yeah. People a lot of times get on there and they want to delete dissenting views and things like that. And a lot of people are leaving these social media platforms to go to, you know, Parler and MeWe and stuff like that. And I have accounts there, but I still engage in the regular platforms because if you go to a place where there's no dissenting views, there's no challenge, it doesn't sharpen you at all. It doesn't show you what's the mainstream thought process and kind of keep you in check on your own moral compass. I really encourage people not to exclude those people, but I mean, I love people who challenge me. I love people who make sure that if I share something that is debatable, I can back it up. Because if I can't, why am I sitting there trying to present it as fact?
And there is a difference, though, between a dissenting view and censorship.
Exactly.
And so I understand, I mean, I do think it's good to stay on Facebook and have those conversations and put that information, put the facts out. And it's frustrating that they constantly are censoring or countering it with bogus facts, mm-hmm. you know, or generalities like they do every post that we do on election or the results or their, you know, if I'll share something like even your stuff you've shared, mm-hmm. even though it's all factual and accurate and cited and researched out, they'll put a little thing, the president-elect Joe Biden, you know, like, and you have to click out of it before you can even look at comments or get into the discussion. So it is important that with a dissent, it's good to have to, I talk about this reasoning together, but it is interesting, and maybe you've discovered this. When you show the facts and they may quiet down, but then they come in with the personal attacks. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you've won. When they start hitting you up with names and name calling or telling you you're grown women, you should know better, or you're better than that, things like that that attack your character, you know that you've won. They have nothing else to go with, so they're going to attack you personally. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I've also seen a lot of people who, when they get to that point, they, you know, they're concerned as entrepreneurs of like someone coming back after them.
So
they
don't
want to blow back.
Yes.
And that's where part of being a concern, you're going to have that. I mean, mm-hmm. that we know in our industry, I mean, I'm in real estate. I know sometimes I'm, you know, going to have to fall on the sword a little bit to express my views freely. And we don't perform our job with any sort of bias, regardless mm-hmm. of what your beliefs are. But some people, they're more divisive than that. And that's mm-hmm. where we try to get the word out there without being, you know, discrediting other people or being disrespectful. But at the same time, we're going to stand our ground.
Right.
And we're going to do what we believe is in the best interest of ourselves, our family first, our business, and then our community, because I'm directly plugged into this community. That's why I'm so involved in politics and I follow it so closely, because it directly affects my family's income, my family's home. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a huge part to kind of know where your community is going and looking at it. You know, I love the lightheartedness of a lot of the things people look at, but mm-hmm. politics is not a fun thing to look at. It can be really depressing, especially with everything going on right now. But finding the truth in it, doing the research is what I enjoy that part of it, to where it makes the negativity and the things you come across and the discussions and all that kind of stuff irrelevant, because it benefits us.
And when you find that light of truth or that glimmer of hope in the facts, you can really come across, you can come back and hit the fear right square in the noggin, in a sense, because we all know fear is false evidence appearing real. And it's like that roaring lion that you hear and, oh my gosh, that's so scary. And then when you get up close, it has no teeth, you know? And so when we have the facts and we can open up that door of faith and hit the fear right on the noggin, we can really impact things. And what I want to share with you, our friends today, is I know that we're battle weary. I get that. We're tired of it. We just want it to be over and get back to business as usual. And I get that. And it's been a long 8 months, but it's almost like strategic, that they want to wear us out so we don't put up a fight any longer. And we just, okay, let's just get back to some normal. Can I just live life? Well, guess what? If we don't stand our ground now, if we don't find a way to encourage and stir up the faith within ourselves, are we just going to roll over? Do we expect that of our president? I don't. He's a fighter. Can we be a fighter too? Can we stand our ground? And again, my faith says, and I listen to the Bible almost daily, and it reminds me that all we have to do is keep standing, that in my faith view, the Lord fights the battle for us. So we need to stay encouraged. We need to stir up the faith within one another. And I love having facts, being girded with facts, and knowing how to go find the facts so that we can have discussion and stand our ground. And again, Dave, you know, when you talk about pacer.gov and you talk about these places we can go to dig in a little deeper. Mm-hmm. When we see something on social media, or we see something come across, to grab it, to look at it, and to research it before we redistribute it, it would really help, huh?
The face of our conservative movement needs to be based in fact and truth, mm-hmm. not just sharing funny memes and talking points that aren't supported by actual data.
This is good information for us to keep standing our ground on this Tuesday and every day. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to have you along on this fantastic Tuesday. Several things happening in our area, and of course, we haven't really hit into it too much today. I'm trying to stay positive and keep our thinking above all of the fray that's going on. And here in our lovely state of Oregon, we are going into a new freeze mandate by Governor Brown. And of course, many of us are like, how can she even get away with this constitutionally? It doesn't even make sense how the numbers, especially when you look at the charts, when you take a look at the charts right out of OHA's own charting, I guess, and certainly our wonderful Marion County commissioners, and I want to applaud them for standing strong and looking at the data and the metrics and keeping the pulse on it. It doesn't make sense because restaurants and gyms are like the least likely places to have infection rate. In fact, it looks like when we talk about the facts and the data, I've got Dave Smith here with me. Dave, it looks like long-term care facilities and correctional facilities, certainly in Marion County, that is where the high incidence of getting COVID. And the other thing that I don't understand on the stats, when we're just looking at the COVID, is that they're not really reporting all of the places and how many places are giving free tests. But I have watched, since she made this declaration on Friday, where she was claiming over the highest daily rates ever, over 1,000 or whatever, it keeps going down. I think yesterday it was like 800. It'll be interesting to see what it was in the tested or presumptive, however they say that, not confirmed cases. Presumptive cases. So it's all in there. It's kind of like ragu sauce. You just really don't know, And so based on that, based on their projections and their science, and they're trying to maybe look in the future, they're doing this shutdown. My question is, I've joined some new groups on Facebook and different forums in Oregon, and a lot of the discussion is, people are calling these hospitals and they're saying, "Are you overwhelmed? Are you?" Because one of the things they said, the governor and her team said that we're concerned about the capacity. We're at capacity in the hospitals and hospitalization and all of that. And people are actually, they're doing their own research and they're calling and they're saying, "Are you full?" "No, we're sending our ends home. We don't have enough work." Wow, and so we wonder why people don't trust the government. Boy, that's happened for a long time. But when they're not backing their information up, when we were talking about last segment about really getting the facts, and when we have discussion, have the facts, what do you say to people like that?
That's one of the hard parts, is knowing where to take the conversation. A lot of it is just knowing which people want the facts. Mm-hmm. One thing I realized in my endeavors to try and share information is some people just don't want to know. They want to know what's easy to digest. That's a lot of times whatever the government's giving you is probably the easiest thing to digest if you're in that train of thought. It's frustrating to see the new lockdowns and the new things like that. I mean, we're in 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and here we are 8 months later. Mm-hmm. This freeze is not going to be any different than back in March. I mean, you have people like Fauci, mainstream media, all these Cuomo, even Kate Brown, all these entities talking about how Christmas is going to be different, how next year, like this freeze is just a pause, and it's a freeze. That's why it's not a 2 weeks to flatten anything. It's a pause so that way they can reset and then do this all again. I truly believe this is going to carry on through 2021. It's going to be a constant thing that the normalcy, if you think of how long we've been in this mode and how much our life has adapted to it, we've already built habits and businesses and entire industries around this pandemic with masks and all these. You go to every store you go to, from boutiques to your box store, Old Navy and stuff like that. They have masks everywhere.
Yeah.
So this isn't the 2 week. It's not like after this 2 week period, even if we did a 4 week period, like parts of Oregon after that, it's not going to all of a sudden make things better and we go back to normalcy. We'll just, if we obey Kate Brown and her orders, we'll get a little bit more freedom, but it's freedom we should already have.
Right.
I'm a huge proponent for individual decision. If you're scared, stay home. And if I'm scared, I'm not going to fault you for it. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. And then if you're scared to go out, let your community band around you and bring you groceries. Like, support those who are uncomfortable or afraid or whatever term you want to use, and don't force your beliefs on them, just like we don't want them to force their fear concerns on us, and let us, everyone, live their life the way that they want to live their life.
Well, and the argument is, as soon as we say, well, you know, I want to live freely and I want to have my liberty and I want to have my constitutional and guaranteed rights, the other side will say, you don't care about grandma.
Yeah.
You're a hater. You're going to kill grandma or auntie or whatever because you're asymptomatic and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, no, don't put that on me. I'm being responsible and we're going to do things in our own family to make sure that our loved ones are protected. Mm-hmm. And by golly, if my dad in his 70s, my mom in their 70s, if they want to live freely and independent, then I'm going to support them in that. If they want to stay home and be masked up, I'm going to support them in that. It's all about our own individual families and how they're reaching into our homes now and telling us that, yep, you can't meet each other for Thanksgiving. A lot of people are upset about that. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican,
the
independent.
Mayor of Sandy, she stood up and declared her city excluded because she's going to celebrate with her family, she said.
Yep.
And she's not a, you know, staunch conservatives or anything like that either. So people, even on the left, or we'll just call it the middle now, they're not about this.
Yes. And so my encouragement to one another, and as we wrap up this hour, and we're going to move into next hour, I hope you can stay with us, friends, because we're going to get into some of this actual evidence of what's going on in the election nationally and talk a little bit more about what's going on locally as far as this lockdown and people that are doing civil disobedience. We're going to get into that this next hour. But the main thing we want you to grab from this hour is it's okay to continue these discussions. Just make sure that we have research and facts to back it up. And certainly, it's okay to ask questions. If you don't know, we'll find out together to stay connected, to rebroadcast this podcast out with your social media. Grab the link when we put it up on our website at kslm.news. We are better together. We're here to encourage one another. And certainly, with all of the bad news, shut off the regular TV. Tune into things that feed your spirit and help you as well. And we're so thankful to have you tune in. And I'm so thankful to have Dave here. Dave, will you stay on for the next hour as we get into dig into some of this stuff that we're going to kind of mull through? Again, if someone's looking for real estate, let's kind of go back there real quick. If they're looking for, to buy, to sell, to upgrade, just want an evaluation, how do they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of us at 503-939-7099 or check us out on Facebook, Dave and Paige at Realty One Group, Willamette Valley.
Awesome. And you have an office right here then, right?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's
right,
fantastic.
Here in Salem.
Okay, good to know. So we've got friends that can help us in the real estate, and that's nice to know. And I want to share with you as well, coming up, don't forget about the Defeat the Steal rally. The next one's coming up. It's going to be a Thanksgiving feast to the needy in our area, and we need some help. That's going to take place the day before Thanksgiving at noon at the Capitol near the fountains. We'll put information up on our website at KSLM Radio. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, wrapping up hour one, going into hour two. Stick around. We'll be back after this.
morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. I'm Stacy Ann. We're in the second hour of this fantastic Tuesday morning, November 17th. 8:06 in the morning. In the studio with me is Dave Smith. And so glad to have you here again this hour, Dave, as we continue to the discussion about what's happening nationally. And we teased about this a little bit last hour and really talked about how important it is to be to do the research, to be geared up in a sense with facts. So when we make statements, we can, say, hey, this is where I got this from. And you too can go look for yourself. And you've done some pretty good research and you've put some amazing details together in posts on Facebook that I like and share. And I thought we need to talk about this on the radio because I think it'll help with our listeners. And certainly we'll share some of this too on our Facebook page and people can share it on their platform. And then you could say, hey, Dave Smith says so, right? That's how they research.
Unofficially is not as a real estate agent.
Right. As an individual. Yes. Or just say Dave said so. Yeah. And it is an interesting walk anymore. And I'm a firm believer that that people don't always want to hear the facts. And was this a quote in one of the debates? You're entitled to your own opinion, but not to your own facts,
yep.
Right? And people try to distort the facts and mull over or water down. And really, when it's right in front of you, you really just can't. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on nationally.
Okay. Kind of state by state is how we broke it down with different things that are happening and some things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, this was as of yesterday, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported that there's a recount in the state of Georgia, found over 2,600 ballots that had not even been tallied in Floyd County, leading to a gain of 800 net votes for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other things. Georgia state officials admitted last Monday that they will find illegal and double voting. So they know it's there. And mm-hmm. everyone, I think, no one ever thought we had a perfect election.
Right.
But Georgia did enter the percent that required the recount, and they'll be doing a hand recount. And I saw a report this morning from a couple different sources that showed one of the poll watchers was watching the recount and saw one person counting ballots in 3 minutes messed up three votes ballots and cast them for Biden when they went the other direction.
Mm.
You start to see some of that. There's a lot more poll watch. That's what the whole point of, you see states like Pennsylvania and things like that having bigger debates about larger sections of ballots is mm-hmm. the poll watchers and the ability to have oversight from both parties should be able to watch the counting process. That's
right.
A fair election. It's the best way to ensure the best results. And a lot of places didn't allow that, and that's up to a lot of times it's the Secretary of State or county commissioners that are in charge. The local elections, just as a side plug, local elections are where conservatives are losing a lot of this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking those little they're always focusing on the president. They have the silent majority. Can't show up every 4 years. You have to show up
every two years,
and you have to do your part. That, that's mm-hmm. a big thing that you're seeing the results of that in this elections on national stage, based off losing all those other ones with local DAs
exactly.
and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, Georgia announced their lead when it was, air quotes here again, it was called for Biden. He was only up by 12,292 votes. So obviously a recount of that could drastically change that margin. And then the one thing I've done some research on, and there's been some other reported ones too, the pipe leak that destroyed a bunch of ballots that they talked about. No work order was ever done for that. There's been nothing that's ever been obtained. There's been no work order done by the state or anything like that. You can find that through their website. It's not a secret. Go to Georgia's website. That's public information. That's a very interesting thing, because that was one of the things that stopped some of the counting in some mm-hmm. areas and things like that. So little things like that just kind of raise some questions for a lot of people. And then moving to Pennsylvania, if you go to the, I think it's pa.gov.database, you can see the votes that were submitted, and you can see a lot of them. There was, I think, a research group with around 20,000 ballots had impossible return dates. So they were returned before they were sent.
Whoa.
So and you can see the date. All the dates are posted on there. So if you do the due diligence, and there's groups you can sign up with to be someone who monitors these things, a lot of the people are finding these irregularities and reporting it, and you can do some of that research yourself too. But a judge did order in Pennsylvania that the the ballots should be segregated for the ones that came in after the election day, because that was a change to the election law, and the Secretary of State didn't have the authority to do that. Likely to go to the Supreme Court, in my opinion, for the country, not the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, because they ruled in favor of it. And then the funny 840 voters were over 101 years old, including 39 who magically lived through the Civil War, and 45 were born in the 1800s. And you can look up their birthdays, and all that stuff is on the pennsylvania.gov.database. And then there was two Pennsylvania USPS workers who come out and they're testifying in court against their supervisors about being told to backdate some of the ballots that came in.
And they have signed affidavits swearing to their testimony. And I've heard some of that conversation because one of those guys, he actually audio recorded his FBI interview where he was harassed. And
it's a very interesting interview. One of the people in Project Veritas is one of the ones that posted a lot of that. You can go on there and listen to the audio of it. A lot of people rely on someone else's summary of something. I encourage people not to do that. You can go listen to the audio yourself. You can research a lot of the things we've talked about so far. Is easily accessed through public information. If you're going to the websites, if you're going to links to this article or that article, you're not going to find it.
No.
You have to go to the government websites. You have to go to the legal websites, the court documents, all that stuff, and this information's right there at your fingertips. And additionally, so we'll touch on this in another segment. It sounds like later today, but Dominion Voting Systems has per the White House, had deleted thousands of votes, and then nationwide had switched at least 221,000 votes from Trump to Biden. And Pennsylvania was only called with a Biden lead of 45,393 back when it was unofficially called. But there's that segregated stack of ballots has 300,000 ballots in it.
Wow.
So if that goes to the Supreme Court, if that's cast out, I haven't followed up on that update in the last 48 hours, but if that happens, that's drastically could alter the results of the election in Pennsylvania. So that things like that, these pending court cases are something that a lot of people aren't paying a lot of attention to. And not a lot of them, at least I think in Pennsylvania, are filed by the White House or by Trump's campaign. A lot of them are done by individuals who live in the state. I think Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona are the only places where Trump, and maybe Nevada, where Trump's campaign actually has a lawsuit. I know Wisconsin, I saw yesterday, has told the Trump campaign it's going to cost them $7.3 million for the recount because they have to pay the staff and everything to do that. So that's something that they're looking at doing right now to pay for the recount because they're within the margins. If you're within the 1% range, you can request a recount. And Wisconsin was only called at 20,557 votes, which is crazy. That same system, the Dominion voting system, which again we'll get into, switched 6,000 votes for Biden. That was caught, it was fixed, and everything like that right away. But there's another glitch that had potentially 19,000 votes in it. So you're again looking at those margins toward these hand counts.
Here's something that I watched and listened to on different websites, and you talk about this software system, and we're going to go into it in the next segment a little bit deeper. When we say glitch, many software engineers, a lot of computer guys who are way above my pay grade that understand how these are designed, they're saying it's no glitch at all. It's by design. It's program. It's not even operator error. These are by design programs that have these open doors in a sense that allow for a quick switch over, or it's in by design and it's triggered somehow, some way. And these are things that, again, most of us, because we have a hard time even monitoring our own smartphone, you know, it's like, let alone understanding the complexity of these software programs and these hardware machines. But we're going to get a little bit into that here in the next segment. But I appreciate the update on where we're at, because I think we're not getting getting the news, certainly not through the mainstream media, on where we're at. They're still talking about President-elect Biden. He is not the president-elect. He has not been certified. We are still in that process of determining what's happened in this election. And I know, friends, we're getting weary. We're getting tired. We're like, can we just be over it and on the other side and move on with our lives? But we've got to stand firm. We've got to stay educated. We got to stay on top of these facts. And Dave, when you look at the data like that and you're refreshing, where are the places you talked about going to the government sources? I know we talked about Project Veritas. I also like to watch like Judicial Watch and some of those places. Yep. Where else on the credible places you like to go to find
Judicial
out?
Judicial Watch is a very reliable source. Let me pull up another one here.
I know that, too, watching some of the conservative interviews and the Sidney Powell, who is an attorney, testifying and coming out on many of these news shows, even the mainstream media
She's
news
vicious.
Shows, she is intense. And I will say, as an attorney that she is, she would not put her time, treasure, and talent and her reputation on the line like she has if there wasn't something to it, you know? So I think going and looking at these websites and getting the information, and what I like to do, friends, this is just a little Stacy trick or Stacy hack that helps me, is when I find something that I like and I want to research and I don't have the time right now, I'll go to the actual website that's referred to in the Facebook page. I'll grab the actual website link, and then I save it in my notes on my phone, and I'll go back to it later on, or I'll send myself a message, because oftentimes in your streams on social media, they change and update all the time. Like, I know I saw it. Where was that? You know, grab it and then research it out and mm-hmm. start down that rabbit trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what you do too?
Yeah. A lot, I mean, especially with social media. I mean, there's people who take quizzes. You have time to do this stuff. I mean, if you're going to take a quiz to find out what kind of potato you are,
yeah.
you can take the time to Google some stuff, to do some digging, click references. Some of these websites, they'll post the sources. Go mm-hmm. to those sources, verify it yourself. And then when you go to the sources, there's places, what got me kind of down this rabbit hole earlier on is you go to the source and you read it, and the article misrepresents that source completely.
Right.
And they quote it, but you see dot, dot, you know, quote, mm-hmm. dot, 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 words, dot, 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 quote. They just took a section of a paragraph of a sentence and things
mm-hmm.
like that. Just like with the good people on both sides thing,
mm-hmm.
that's been misran a million times.
Oh, yeah.
And the true story, you can dig and see it. So a lot of this stuff, you can do the same thing. I mean, I was watching live streams of them counting votes, and I posted very videos and screenshots mm-hmm. of multiple people doing that. The Dominion voting system is a broken system,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it was rejected by Texas in 2018. Elizabeth Warren, our own Ron Wyden, and Amy Klobuchar all complained that the system in 2019 was invalid because it was capable of vote switching.
Well, we're going to dig deep into it after this. I am curious what kind of potato you are. I know you're not a mashed potato. I think I'm a sweet potato. I don't know. That was really funny. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have you in the conversation, friends, today. If you have anything to add to it, we invite you to give us a call, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this fantastic Tuesday. We're in hour two, continuing the discussion and how to dig down to the facts when there's so much information coming at us. It sometimes feels like a big water hose, like this huge fire hose of information, and we're going to get drowned out by it. And I know I've talked to numerous people, so I'm just so worn out, and I know so many of you have worked hard. You've worked on getting the petition for the recall, and he worked on campaigns despite all the COVID shutdowns, and certainly all of our candidates and our friends who have rolled up their sleeves and trying to get elected to make a difference and falling short. And it seems like, man, can we catch a win? Can we just catch a break ever? You know, it feels a little bit like that, but it's okay. I liken it, and again, I think of my little friend who talked to me this last weekend about me being so Pollyanna, but it is, here's some truth. If we don't have the struggle, we can't keep our muscles in shape and ready for the battle for the long term. And a marathon and a runner continues to train every day to meet that goal. And so we want to keep our eyes on the prize and our eyes on defending our liberties, defending our Constitution and the right for our children and our grandchildren in the future to continue to walk in the freedom and liberty that we've experienced. And it starts with us, and it starts with our community and doing what we can do. And there's watchmen on the wall, watchmen and watchwomen on the wall, looking and monitoring and looking for potential threats and things that could change things in an amazing way. And it's interesting how each and every day we're coming against things. And when we talk about technology and when we start talking about truth, it's how many times have you gone into a story online on social media and all of a sudden it's gone, or you don't have internet access. And isn't this interesting? Our websites, we're going to look at it right now to see if our website, we think our website might even be down right now. And when we start speaking truth, we're going to come across some opposition. And so it's important that we stay grounded and connected. And we're looking for ways right here at KSLM Radio that we can connect through email and a different variety of platforms so we can get the information out to you. If you hear that we're not on the air, you know, at some point or another, you know, to send us messages via email or contact us through direct message on Facebook and things, because so many things are connected to the internet, including radio anymore. So these are things that we have to be aware of. And when we look at our computer systems that are monitoring these elections, talk to us a little bit about, Dave, this Dominion software system.
So I talked about before how Texas rejected it, how some Warren and Wyden and Klobuchar issued a formal complaint against Dominion voting systems. Among those complaints was vote switching. There's lots of just things like that just kind of add up to make some concerning points. So I have it here, and I'll send it to you. We actually the user manual mm-hmm. for Dominion voting systems. I've gone through that. It covers a lot of different points, including one thing that is the most concerning. You see, I don't know who watched the voting counting live and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but if you look straight party ticket, it makes you think that, you know, someone votes all Republican or all Democrat. But if you look at straight party ticket, there's a tabulation thing on their user manual that shows if someone votes Republican and Democrat both, so straight party meaning more than one party mm-hmm. in this case, it makes the whole ballot invalid. That particular vote invalid. Who you vote for mayor or whatever might still be there, but your party ticket. And so what's concerning is if you watch the videos, you saw several videos of people, especially in Philadelphia and I think Detroit, they were going on their marking boxes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought they were, you know, vote switching or things like that. But if you mark both, then it comes up as an error, and they don't have to. There's the same steps that they have for saving that ballot mm-hmm. for recounts, et cetera, like that, don't apply because that's an incorrect ballot, ballot. So things like that starts to open up the door for some things that should be called into question, which I know are being called into question. And then there's a lack of chain of evidence. So again, in their user manual, The there's a SD card which mm-hmm. holds some of the votes that shows on there the instruction manual, how to load it onto a computer, how to switch it over to the voting thing, and all that kind of stuff. So there's all these different steps, but they involved a lot of human interaction, and they involve these drives and USB documents.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't talk about is in several different states throughout November 2nd through, I think, November 4th or 5th, there were several reports of people losing those to where they were being left inside, you know, a laptop and open access that you can see throughout the room.
Oh.
The laptop's just sitting, things like that. So a lot of insecurity in that way. When Hugo Chavez won his election in Venezuela, Dominion Vote or Smart, what was it, Smart-tastic or something like that. That's a company owned by Dominion that's been bought by Dominion. They use the same system. And that was one of the things that our own government back then rejected that election for a period of time because they thought that was wrought with fraud because mm-hmm. there was not much security. Same thing happened in Ukraine in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So all these different elections have taken place with this system or one of the systems they own, like Democracy Suite. That's something that a lot of states used, especially in California. That's owned by Dominion Voting Systems. Their user manual is available online. Things like that. You can go to these sources and see they're complicated, and I had to ask for help from some computer guys, but you can see pictures, screenshots in their own direct
incredible
source.
So what about here in Oregon, what do you know about our systems that we use? Because I've heard stories that we're owned by subcontracted type businesses that work with Dominion, but not Dominion directly. Do you mm-hmm. know if that's valid at all?
I know we do have, we contract a lot of it out, the tabulation mm-hmm. part, the count, mm-hmm. that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand the difference between counting and tabulation.
Okay.
So if I have a stack of ballots and I'm tabulating, I'm going to separate them into their stack, then mm-hmm. they go into a machine,
mm-hmm.
that machine tabulates it.
Okay.
That data can either be farmed locally and through USB drives, through computer programs. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they don't like to do computer programs because that's easily hacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Philadelphia, the systems are not supposed to connect to, none of these systems are supposed to connect to the internet, but in Philadelphia, three times on election day two on election day, one on the day after, there's a electronic receipt of it actually connecting to the internet.
Wow.
Bad. You don't want that kind of, that exposes the votes. So you start to see stuff like that. In Oregon, the tabulation, I know the tabulation part of it is not centralized here locally. I forget where that was done, mm-hmm. but it was one of the things we were looking at is they're counted here, but there's a lot of ways you can make those counts sway different directions.
Well, and these are things that are of concern because not only are we talking about voter fraud, we're looking at the integrity of our whole election process because that's what secures our future, friends. And so we're going to continue the conversation after this. We've got some good news about some businesses locally and some elected leaders who are standing up against Governor Brown. We'll be talking about that when we get back. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, I'm stepping on my way. Good morning. You give me strength, you give me just what I need. I can feel the hope that's
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Dave Smith, and we're talking about this election, this national election, and all of the computer manipulation that's going on and why there's so many lawsuits and recounts and things nationally and how this is affecting the election integrity. And certainly we know that mail-in voting here in Oregon has happened for several years and there's a system in place. But many of these areas, because of quote-unquote COVID restrictions and the threat of the disease, they have manipulated the voting practices of many areas that you had to show an ID and show up in person or do an absentee ballot at the most. Now doing mail-in ballots, and it just has upended in big areas that have never done anything like this. They don't have all of the protocols that we have developed in Oregon, which is debatable if they're really, if it's it's a good system or not, given some of the issues that we've even had here in Oregon. But here's something interesting, and we talked at length last hour about why it's important to, you know, get some facts, get some information. There's a new story out, and it's interesting, and it's dated on the 15th of November, so not too long ago, just a couple days ago, and it's from an organization called newsthud.com. And it said, Dominion engineer told Antifa he'd make sure Trump wouldn't win. And he'd say he'd make sure that it wouldn't win the presidential race, according to reports. Dominion Voting Systems Vice President of U.S. Engineering Eric Coomer allegedly spoke with Antifa members on a conference call and reportedly assured the other participants by saying, don't worry about the election, he's not going to win. Dominion Voting System is one of the largest voting technology companies in the United States. It provides voting machines and tabulations to many local governments. More than 30 states use the voting machines to scan ballots in the U.S. elections and tabulate votes. Eric Coomer's profile as the director of Dominion Voting System was recently scrubbed from their website. Coomer joined Dominion as vice president of engineering in 2010, according to the GWP. His bio says he graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, with a PhD in nuclear physics. Eric Coomer was later promoted to voting systems officer of strategy and security, although Coomer has since been removed from the Dominion page of directors. In a stunning interview conducted by Michelle Malkin, which I like her, Faith Education Commerce United founder Joel Altman reveals how he infiltrated Antifa. While working undercover, Altman says that he was involved in a conversation with Antifa members when he discovered Eric from Dominion was allegedly a part of that chat during the week of September 27th, 2020. Altman explained that Eric was telling the Antifa members that they needed to keep up the pressure. See a grand plan here? And so it's a good, I'll include this link to this and many other articles. And I know you have some information, too. You've heard this name before, Eric, right?
Yes.
You saw something from, what, 2016 or?
Yep. In 2016, he was the officer of strategy and security for Dominion. And he said that vendors and election officials have access to manipulate the vote. That loophole has been closed off for the 2020 election due to the ability to manipulate. But what they don't talk about is if you, again, you read the publicly accessed Dominion user manual, people who still have access to that same part of the system where they can affect vote changes and things like that are technicians and IT guys who service the system and do, they'll do checks and they'll do fake votes and things like that, but those votes can still be tabulated. Mm-hmm. So during the election counting or the vote counting process, those IT guys still have access to a lot of components. Election officials can still have access to it. And then in their own system, it talks about how to enter in a password and then how to not use a password. So you can enter the system, especially if there's a computer that has the USB drive or the SD card. That's where everything's stacked. So that stuff, it gets sent off to other areas, and there's different counting systems for different types of different components of doing your voting system, because they own a lot of companies in places like Venezuela, Brazil, Canada, not just in the United States. But then we talked earlier about the votes in Georgia, how they came up with 2,600 votes, benefit Trump by 800. According to Gabriel Sterling, who's the state's voting system manager, the problem occurred because county election officials didn't upload from a memory card in a ballot scanning machine. So if you don't upload the votes, they don't get tabulated. So that's not a secure system. That's why Texas rejected it. That's why Ron White, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren rejected it. That's why it's when it was used in other countries, we've rejected those votes. There's every corrupt government. So we have Ukraine, hotbed for corruption. Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, they haven't had a fair election since Hugo Chavez got in. All of them are using these systems, and a lot of them in Ukraine, mail-in ballots. We rejected in 2004 because the mail-in ballots we said then were too fraught.
Right.
But here we are doing that nationwide. In Venezuela, same thing. In Venezuela, they actually did a step further. They had mobile app voting.
Wow.
And that was messed with. So all these different things, there's where this system is used in a combination with irregular and untraceable voting, like with mail-in. Oregon does it. They have a system for it, but there's been lots of debate and things brought into question with that. But on a nationwide scale, when you just send out a voter roll, I mean, if you look at how many people, dead people, how many homes got two checks.
On the stimulus.
The stimulus
check.
Alone.
Yes.
Like
that, yes.
And that's money going out from the mm-hmm. government, our taxpayer money. With votes, it's no different.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the same voter rolls. I mean, we received, I think, 3 voter packets in our home this year.
Incredible.
We obviously only voted with 2 throughout the other one, but you have these votes coming in because before, you know,
they're not tracking, they're
track
not
it,
watching.
Name changes, mm-hmm. all sorts of things like that. And it's not necessarily an intentional thing to have, you know, double ballots and things like that and mm-hmm. get mailed out, but there's not the systems and tools in place to keep that clean, keep that clear. So when they have that open-ended like that, then I think the intention part and the part that they know is not consistent or clean is just mailing it out broadly.
Well, and I've heard Sean Hannity talk about Florida and certainly what they've learned from the Hanging Chad incident over 20 years ago and how they've cleaned things up. And if Florida, that big old state, can get her done and be able to tabulate and get her done on election night.
21 million votes.
This is crazy that it's you know, stall, all this difficulty and trouble. You know, it makes me think that going back to, and my hope is, when Trump is reconfirmed as the president, that we do a major overhaul in all of this and that we show up with our ID and our verification of our address and we vote that way. There's nothing wrong with that and it works. And all of this shortcut stuff is really causing trouble and it's stirring up a lot of doubt in the American population of really trusting our election. And I heard it said well yesterday. No matter how this election ends up, there's going to be a big part of America upset either way. We certainly know that they're trying to influence the judicial if this gets to the Supreme Court by saying, you know, there's going to be so much unrest and civil disturbances if Trump's reelected, right? And we know from Obama and when Clinton got in that generally if the election doesn't go the way we want it to go, conservative-wise, that we deal with it in a sense. But what we don't deal with is the election integrity being compromised. What we won't deal with is life as we know it and our liberties continuing to be manipulated by a virus that is 98% survivable. And I have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring him into the conversation right now. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining in the conversation. Hi, Art. How are you today?
Oh, I've just enjoyed the heck out of your program.
Good.
Knowledge is power, and you know, it's so important for people to know what's going on, to get educated, to know that they need to. Knowledge is power, but where is that knowledge coming from? And is that person a credible person? Who can you trust and who can't you trust?
Mm-hmm.
I find it so interesting that Wyden and Klobuchar and all of those Democrats were so concerned about the integrity when it affected them. Because if you remember back when they held the New York vote, it was so messed up. They really didn't even know who won and everything. Well, that affected them, and that's why they brought it up. But are they going to bring it up now? No, because it doesn't suit their purposes, and it really disturbs me that a lot of our government officials do not have any ethics. And
right.
When something happens, it affects them, then they yell and scream. But when it happens again, they're completely silent because they know that, you know, if Trump loses the election, that's advantageous to them. So they really don't have any ethics. Otherwise, they would be yelling and screaming and saying, hey, America, that's what's important, that we're doing it right, that we're following the laws, and you know, we're conducting our elections with integrity, when a lot of our leaders, they aren't very ethical. They're politicians, not statesmen. And that's what is the problem in our country right now.
That's exactly right. And the thing that we've got to stay on top of is not getting worn out, right, Art? We've got to keep our, we got to stay in the game. We've got to realize that, yeah, we're winded, we're weary because the fight has been going on. And I liken it to like a football game. And I think Sean Hannity talks a lot about this too. We're in that last quarter, you know, and we're gonna hit the goal, right? And we as advocates got to stay in the game. Thank you, Art, for joining the conversation this morning. Certainly appreciate it. You have a wonderful day.
Great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. In it together, my friends, getting the information out to you so that you can continue to be equipped and know where to go look so when you're in discussions, you can equip your friends and family. It's all about persuading the persuadable, right? Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, continuing the conversation after this. We'll be back. Good morning to you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. And we've jumped up in temperature over the last hour and a half. Now it's 56 degrees at the KSLM studio. Going to be a high temperature of 57, so we're almost already there. I'm going to see some rain showers throughout today and the next few days. Temperatures remaining in the mid-50s, and towards the weekend we'll see some sunshine peeking through the clouds on Friday and Saturday. Want to invite you to join us. In fact, it looks like we'll look for some fun things to do together anyway because, you know, we'll be under this governor mandate, right? And so this coming Saturday, while you're out shopping at Safeway on Center Street, we encourage you to come out and support our Supermarket Saturday, where we are collecting non-perishable items and food items for our food insecure in our community through the Salvation Army. We're partnering out with them, and I'm excited about that. We're going to be there from 9 to 4 on the 21st, that's Saturday the 21st. In fact, Terry Soule is going to be doing his show. He usually has a show on Saturday at 10. We'll be doing that live. We'll be doing some broadcasting, and it would be awesome to meet you, and certainly for a wonderful cause. We're working on a few other things around the corner. We're looking at maybe partnering and doing a pajama drive for those that are in foster care and all kinds of fun things. If you have events, and I know there's some challenges right now because of this mandate thing going on, this is the time where people are most charitable. People come together. We help the needy. It's just at that time of the year that we do it. And we're going to have to really figure out how to do these toy runs, how to get the kids the toys for Christmas and things. And I'll be bringing some people into the studio to talk about that. And we'll be real creative in how we can do that. But I want to read this this letter. And I think it's very, very telling of where we're at today. Because of this mandate that's supposed to start on tomorrow from the governor to, quote unquote, you know, flatten the curve, stop the spread, all of those things. It's been a mandate that kind of picks winners and losers. It says, nope, the restaurants you need to shut down unless you can, and you could do takeout, but no one can do dine-in, and gyms you need to close down, and all of these things. And when you look at the charts, it shows that gyms and restaurants are not places where infections happening hardly at all. And so this letter I saw yesterday, and I think it's very important, and it's a letter from the owner of the courthouse. And if you're in the Marion County and perhaps maybe on the web, you've seen this, but he says, as a result of the harm done to our business from the first shutdown, we will not survive another closure. This is a horrible position I find myself in, and it leaves me with the only choice. Courthouse Club Fitness will remain open Wednesday and the days to follow. It is important to know the Marion County Health Department has confirmed since contract tracing began in May, there has been zero transmission of COVID traced to Courthouse. courthouse will self-impose a 50% capacity limit. Courthouse will continue to enforce the mask and social distancing rules, as well as rigorous sanitation protocols. The governor's new order does not prohibit physical therapy, youth sports, massage, and other personal services due to the positive impact on mental and emotional health. I know many of you feel the same about your workouts at the club. You may even see them as your physical therapy or youth at heart sport. This is not a decision I take lightly, and I understand some of you may not agree. At the end of the day, I'm convinced staying open is in the best and most responsible option for our members, our staff, and our community. Thank you for your support, your continued support, John Miller, owner. Wow, I am saying, you know, and I was talking about this, Dave, with you earlier. I mean, it makes me want to sign up.
Yeah.
And support an organization who's willing to stand. And I know also there was a letter and some conversation at the Kaiser Council yesterday, last night, I think, our representative Bill Post from Kaiser said, look, Kaiser, let's stand up. Let's stand up to these shutdowns. Let's not give in. You know, let's do what's best for our citizens here in Kaiser and our businesses. Let's stand strong. And I know you talked about the mayor or leader in mm-hmm. Sandy. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, you know, if you hear of these things, you hear of businesses and they're wanting to be bold and brave like that, let's get the word out. Let's support them. Let's stand strong. There are things and ways that we can continue to help one another out despite all of these unconstitutional power grabs is what I'll call them.
Exactly.
So what do you say, Dave, about that?
I'm already members of gyms that I don't go to, so I'm going to be signing up to support them. I must support. I mean, we'll happily support any business that decides to take these steps to protect their... I mean, in his own letter, he acknowledges that they limited certain groups, mm-hmm. certain industries. I mean, not to be hard, but they're a bar. People congregate. People sometimes I've met several people. That's their outlet. That's where they go. Not just in the party scene that you mm-hmm. they try and make it seem like, but their regular places of business and socialization. So they're okay with youth sports and with D1s, all these kind of things. But they're going to shut down these other businesses. And these people are already struggling from before, or just now getting to the point where they can rebound. You can't just take their feet out from under them like that. And then they talk about all this therapy and stuff. And they don't want to. You don't want to call alcohol a therapy, so to speak. But then they were really quick to, with Measure 10, to mm-hmm. call drugs and I think it was psychedelic mm-hmm. mushrooms as
some kind of therapy. Therapy, yes.
Which I get it has its place and things like that. I'm not a medical person. I haven't researched that, acknowledging that enough to know mm-hmm. a whole lot about that part of it, but. You can't differentiate like that and rule out one group of people. I mean, we talked earlier, not to travel too far back and forth with COVID and the letter and mm-hmm, things like that.
Ahead.
But I was researching last night for today. 547 people died from drug overdose in 2018. In 2018, they don't report their numbers every single year. So 2018 mm-hmm. is the most recent reporting mm-hmm. for the state of Oregon. This year, supposedly 772 people have died. I'll specify this because the media won't. With COVID, not mm-hmm. from COVID, mm-hmm. with COVID. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, 11,320 people were hospitalized only in the category of drug injection infections mm-hmm. in 2018 alone. This year, COVID has hospitalized 2,618 people. So there's these big differences in numbers. We didn't shut down the state because of drug overdose.
Right.
We didn't shut down the state because of 11,320 infections.
Mm-hmm.
We're shutting down the state over numbers that are smaller or comparable as far as the fatalities and things like that. But if you look at these numbers too, they're not putting the with COVID.
Right.
That's one of the big things I'm seeing more people start to get vocal on. But from COVID, with COVID are two very different things.
Very different.
And that skews the numbers. And Oregon's, as far as how we rank to the rest of the country, our lockdown measures compared to where we're at with cases and numbers and all that kind of stuff don't correlate.
They don't.
In cases, we're going to you and I were talking earlier, we're going to have more cases. Every mm-hmm. time you shut down and exclude people and then you open everybody back up, like, virologists will come out and say, like, that's, you're creating an environment where you're going to have more of that. Mm-hmm. We have more tests than any other country. We're it's very easy to go get a test. It's mm-hmm. not inexpensive to get a test either. So people are doing that. You're going to have more cases. Follow the fatalities. That's the true measure. And they're pushing a vaccine with a 94% success rate, and then the fatality rate for this disease is like 0.016.
Yes, and it's like the cure for the threat of the disease is worse by mental health and all of the things that it's doing to our, in our economy. I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Thank you, Dave. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
I appreciate it.
And again, give us your website.
Home Search Oregon, or on Facebook, Dave and Paige at Realty One Group Willamette Valley.
Awesome. Well, and maybe we'll have you come down, stop at Supermarket Saturday. Will that be all right?
I will be there.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to remind you that I'll produce this show, this two-hour show, put it up on our podcast, share with your friends and family. You have a super-duper wonderful day. Plan now to attend Supermarket Saturday. This Saturday from 9 to 4, I look forward to seeing you then. Have a wonderful day, friends.